We've got guests with us this morning. That's what we do here when we come out. We invite people in the community to come by. And Greg, you thought, why don't we bring the fire chief in? And also we have with us Melissa Fuque, who is, I guess, the first female firefighter in Wellington's history. Is that the distinction that you have, I guess?
Yes, I guess.
Tell me a little bit about that path. How did that come about?
Growing up, I wanted to be a lot of different things, okay, like any kid. And when college came around to make that decision, like what I was going to study, I went into medicine. I started studying the body, and I went to a small private university in North Carolina to ride on their equestrian team. I ended up transferring back to Kent State and went through kind of a rough patch, like trying to decide like what I really wanted to do. Didn't know, and I made a new group of friends, and a lot of them were paramedics and firefighters. And through that rough patch I had, it kind of like smacked me in the face, like, I want to help people. Public safety was really what I wanted to start trying to focus towards, and I began taking a lot of civil service exams in the Kent and Akron area where I was living. And I came back here to Wellington for my 5-year high school reunion, and it was at that time when I figured out and I learned that Wellington Fire was hiring. And so I also applied at Wellington Fire, and they were the first ones to call me back for an interview and a test, and there we go.
And how long has that been now that you...
About a year now, yeah.
How has this experience, so this career path, how do you like it so far?
In love with everything about it. I love the training. I love the constant education requirements that we have to do, all the classes that I've taken so far are just extremely interesting, and I love the work that we actually do.
Are you full-time then?
No, we're part-time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have designated shifts, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Oh, well, right now we respond as needed. We have 28 part-time personnel, 2 full-time, and they carry a pager, and they respond as needed. It's a paid-per-call position, so they can make as many calls as they like, or, you know, hopefully... we don't have that instance, but as few calls as they like. But
Chief,
we try to keep everybody involved.
Chief Mike Weatherby, our guest here as well. Thank you for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
How did you begin that career track?
Oh, gosh. Right out of high school, I had a couple friends that were on the fire department. And back then it looked cool. You know, it's something that, would get a rush when the fire siren uptown here would go off. And happened to know a couple guys, and they got me on the fire department. And back then, so much different back then. You needed a vote of half the members present at the association meeting to get on the fire department. And Melissa here, she went through a written test, physical agility, interviews, and just the process now is so much different in hiring. Whereas back then, you just had to have people that liked you on the fire department. So.
Was it tougher, Melissa, because, primarily it's a guy's thing. There are not that many female firefighters. Did you have any thoughts about that?
I didn't know that I was the only female to apply and be hired onto the fire department here in Wellington at first. But I did know some girls back in the Kent Akron area that were firefighters, and they could do it, and I never really thought about it that way. I didn't really think. I had no idea that Wellington never had a female. And
Chief, were you surprised when that application came in?
Yes, I was. We've had a couple apply in the past, but due to various reasons, things just they didn't work out through the interview process. And when Melissa walked in, I remember the day. I thought she was a sales lady coming in from one of our fire equipment manufacturers, and when she asked for the application, it kind of threw me a little bit, and I went and I got her the application, and a couple days later she was back with an application all filled out, and she hit a good period in the fire department, because we were looking for people and we were fixing to do a rather large hire to get our ranks back up where they needed to be. So she come in at a good time.
Chief, you often face difficult situations, whether it's a fire in a building, a home, or whatever the case may be, a car crash. Were you involved with this really unfortunate situation in Pittsfield Township this week?
Yes, we went up and provided scene coverage for the incident up there. And, you know, unfortunate as it is, you know, you've got the kids involved, and you know, you hate to hear, you know, that's really probably one of the worst things about our job is, you know, the kids, if there's kids involved, and the survivors. So
the town of Wellington, very historic. We see a lot of older buildings. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what the Wellington Fire Department, its history, the buildings that it's in, or anything related to that. You guys have old fire trucks that maybe you bring out or that are somewhere in the community that kind of reflect on the history of the fire department in the community?
Unfortunately, due to room constraints, we haven't kept a lot of old apparatus. I do know that one of our very first fire engines right now is displayed in the Henry Ford Museum. It was purchased and taken up to Michigan and used up there for a short time and ended up in the Henry Ford Museum. But if we did some searching around, we could find our old equipment. We had it truck brought back here for our 100th anniversary and put in the parade, and I believe that truck is down in the West Virginia area. But, you know, with the stations the way they are and the equipment we have to house now, we don't have a lot of room for the antique, you know, engines that that we used to have. But we do. We cover quite a old downtown area here, as many towns are. A lot of 100-year-old plus buildings, and that presents a lot of challenges. And you know, I go to bed at night saying my worst fear is a downtown fire. And luckily we've had a pretty good track record, and our community has stayed intact. And
does a lot of that have to go back to like individual responsibility and safety checks on your behalf?
Yeah, we try to get through the businesses and do fire inspections, and you know, just a lot of it's basic stuff, just, you know, clutter and things like that could add to a fire, wiring, you know, different areas that basically it's really just fire safe common sense, and we try to go through and make sure everybody's adhering to those types of
right. Now, the other issue that I know, and maybe this is indicated too, they're working on doing the underpass, I guess, at the tracks as well, on here. Because sometimes if you have to get a call, you've got trains that you have to deal with, or routes to get through so that you're able to get to locations on time. And it's probably, at some point, sometimes trains could be a hindrance for you at this area.
Yeah, in the past, they've been a hindrance, and that's what prompted really the underpass to be put in, was the amount of trains that CSX was running through here. This being one of the busiest corridors in the nation, really, we do average, no kidding, some days a train every 5 minutes, and they're traveling east and west, both directions. So yeah, we've been held up at crossings. Our ambulance district, they've been held up at crossings as well. Our worst fear is a train actually stopping and not allowing us to cross the tracks, you know, anywhere within the village. That sends us out of the village looking for an open crossing.
Chief, when we talked about early on about having you on the program today, we also talked about Senate Bill 106.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what that bill is and where you stand on it?
Yeah, right now, Senate Bill 106, we had a diver that we lost back in 2006 in the line of duty, and he had drowned in the process of working a swift water rescue. And what Senate Bill 106 is, introduced by Tim Schaefer out of the Lancaster area, is hopefully legislation that will pass through and be signed by Governor Kasich, stating that the people that go around road closed signs and go into high water can be, you know, found financially responsible for the cost of the rescue. And it's not a huge punishment, but it's a financial punishment that's meant hopefully to deter those types of actions. And it's passed through the Senate, and the Senate House Committee passed it, and the Senate, they passed it with an overwhelming majority, and it's passed through the House Transportation Committee. So we're waiting on the House to vote right now, and hopefully it'll be put before Governor Kasich maybe you know, as soon as before the end of the year.
The rescue diver, Alan Anderson, he was one of yours?
Yes, Buzz Anderson was one of ours. He worked with us under contract for quite a few years, and then Wellington formed their own dive team, and we put him on the fire department at that point, him and a couple other divers. And you know, we trained in diving in swift water, and so Buzz was, he was one of ours, very close. Grew up with Buzz. He lived around the corner from me, actually, in the old neighborhood, and so he's a great loss to the community.
It's always amazing when you think of the fire department in the name fire, you think of that, but there's a whole other range of responsibilities or things that you respond to, isn't it?
Oh yeah, basically when you don't have anybody else to call, you call the fire department. I mean, and we go out to any type of call. We'll go out to animals and trees still, and it's a joke to a lot of people when they laugh about it, but when somebody doesn't know who to call, they call the fire department first. And we take great pride in being able to help anybody, whatever their time of need is, and we'll do everything we can. If there's nothing we can do, we'll certainly look for the right agency that can handle it for them.
So you still get calls for, my cat's up in the tree and won't come down?
Yes.
You know what Dick Goddard once said? He's never found a dead cat in a tree.
We had a captain, Dan Lent, that retired a few years back, and he cut trees as a part-time pastime for him. And he always told us, you know, gentlemen, I've never seen a cat skeleton in a tree. So
they come down on their own schedule, right?
They do.
You know, one more thing I need to ask. You mentioned right before we went on the air, you had watched last season, The Voice.
Yes.
All right. Now, Bruce is the biggest Dancing with the Stars fan out there. Do either one of you follow Dancing with the Stars?
I do not, no.
It's all I can do to watch The Voice.
Okay.
That pampers my wife.
I just wondered if you had a favorite this season yet, but...
That's all right. I'm okay with that.
We'll ask the mayor when
she
comes in.
Now, Melissa, so you were hired a year ago September. Have you passed your anniversary yet, or are you coming upon your one-year anniversary?
I'm coming upon it, yes.
Okay. That's good. Well, we appreciate you coming in and sharing a little bit of your story as well, Melissa Fuque, and also Chief Mike Weatherby with the Wellington Fire Department. Thanks for stopping in this morning.
Well, thanks
for
having us.
Keeping the community safe. We appreciate that, too.
Thank you.